Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWRDB.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, and fitness. So tonight, I have a super powerful, exciting show planned for you with an amazing individual, but I first want to give a couple of shout-outs, as always. And the first shout-out goes to Sydney Vermillion for being on my last show. It was such a joy to interview you, and I really appreciate you opening up and telling us your story that's going to inspire so many women, athletes out there. I wish you nothing but success, my friend. Everyone, all my listeners out there, please support her and her mission to elevate women's soccer to the highest level possible. She's amazing. She's a champion for just speaking up and speaking out at the things that are going on in women's soccer today. So please support her in that mission. Next shout out goes out to my daughter, Brianna, for putting on the most amazing show performance celebrating Black History Month. Mama is so proud of you and your cast for not only a stellar performance, but for actually taking the time to learn about Black history and being interested in it. She came home teaching me things that I didn't know. So that was very cool. I learned a lot, too, through that process. Final shout-out goes out to all the recent birthdays out there. I wish everyone a happy birthday. Hope everyone has an amazing celebration. Just want to – and actually, you know what? I have one more final shout-out, and that goes out to my producer, eWater, Ed Waterford. Please, I just really thank you so much for letting me have this platform to be able to showcase other people and their talents and their ability and motivation and inspiring stories. I really want to just extend my gratitude of being able to have this platform. So thank you so much, Ed, for allowing me, eWater Radio, to have this actual platform. So now, without further ado, I'm so excited for our next special guest whom I've known for several years. We actually met through working with nonprofit, and he became a very dear friend of mine. He's been working in international health ministry for over 15 years and 8 years
preaching experience. Not to mention, you know, he's a visiting scholar at Johns Hopkins University,
who has discussed medical and religious partnerships in public health and mentorship to college students across the United States. It is my pleasure to introduce to you my friend and colleague, guest speaker, Elder Roger Williams.
Tammy,
Elder Roger,
hello.
You are on the line.
Tammy,
hey,
hello. Can you hear me?
How are you?
I am great.
How are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm really, really excited to be talking with you right now, and hello to all your listeners.
Awesome. Well, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time tonight to be on my show, because I know you're super, duper, duper busy. So that means a lot to me that you took the time out to be on my show tonight. So thank you for that.
It's my pleasure, Tammy.
Awesome. Well, I'm super happy, again, to have you on here. But before we get started, you know, into our spiel because we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Let's go ahead and start off on the right foot. Would you mind opening us up in a prayer?
Well, again, it would be my pleasure. Our God, we thank you for this time that you have given us together tonight to discuss matters of great importance to all of us. We ask that you would open our minds, open our ears, open our hearts to the possibility of new revelation and new knowledge about the topics we will be discussing this evening, and that it bring great meaning to all of the listeners. And we pray these things and say amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. That now that we have our show started off on the right foot, you know, I want everyone to know a little bit more about you and your journey, because you have such an interesting life of how you came to in the work of Christ and really being a leader. Your story is super interesting, and I learn something about you every time that you explain things to me. But please tell our listeners about a bit more about your journey and how you became an elder.
Oh, wow. You know, Tammy, at my age, that could be a really long conversation, but I'll give you the short version. And I think where I like to start is by saying that I never had any expectation of doing any work in the church, doing any work for God, of becoming a preacher, becoming an elder. It was never an ambition. My ambition was always more closely related to the music industry, the recording industry. That's the place where I wanted to be, the television and film industries. But God had a different plan. And, you know, I've been just very, very fortunate to become an elder in the Church of God in Christ and serve at West Angeles Church here in Los Angeles. And it's been quite a journey. I've had just unique opportunities to serve people and to help so many people, not just here in California, but we have programs across the United States. And as you mentioned earlier in the introduction, I've been engaged in global health and have really had the opportunity to help the poorest people in the world. And it has been an extraordinary experience for me. And, you know, I'm really grateful that God chose me for this work. And I'm excited about the project that I'm going to tell you a little bit about tonight, where we're really looking at how to address the suicide issue in the United States among college students. So that's some background information about who I am and where I am going.
Well, I thank you for all your service, both in, you know, ministry, but then also you didn't tell everyone that you're a veteran as well. So my hat goes off to you there as well for serving our country, you know, as well. You know, that is a huge honor in itself, but you've done so many different things, and ministry is just another thing that you've done that really has been your calling. And every time it seems like you try to pull away, it always calls you back, which is, you know, it must be your purpose and your meaning, because, you know, we've known each other for quite some time. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Pastor, or I always say Pastor, but Elder Roger Williams, we've known each other for a long time, and we've done a lot of great work together with older adults over the years, you know, and with that, you know, the work that we've done in, you know, because we met at work doing amazing work for older adults. I've noticed with working with older adults over the past 13 years and churches, you don't see a lot of younger people or just people in general at churches anymore. You know, what do you think that reason is for the decline in church membership?
Well, you're right, Tammy. Church membership has been on the decline for a long time. We've been measuring church attendance, and there are a variety of different studies that are published. The Pew Trust publishes a study. Duke University probably publishes the most detailed study. It's called the Congregations Study. And what we know is that, for example, in 2020, 47%, only 47% of Americans said that they belong to a church, synagogue, or mosque, which is down 50% in 2018 and down 70% in 1999. Essentially, church membership has decreased from 71% of Americans in 1985 to only 47% in 2020, according to the Pew Trust. So there's been a steady decline. We see it in our churches, both large churches and small, with the smaller churches that might have had 100 to 150 members in their churches, they're now down to between 50 and 60 members, which is really quite a substantial drop. So families have been pulling themselves out of our churches. Families have been identifying as not being affiliated with a particular church congregation or a church membership at all. And these are dynamics that are really impacting the church in a variety of different ways. But I think more importantly, these are factors that are impacting our society overall. With this decline in church membership, we have seen increases in other problems within our society. For example, one really good example that is on everyone's mind right now, mass shootings. We've seen more mass shootings as this decline in church membership has been occurring over the years. For example, there were in 1980, if we go back to 1980, there was only one mass shooting. But in 2018, there were 12. In 2022, there were 12. And already in 2023, there are 3. So we're on track to repeat these high numbers of mass shootings, and we're hearing about it in the news, you know, very, very regularly, certainly too much. Mm-hmm. So that's one example of the impacts, you know, and this is not a religious statement, right? This is a statement of fact. These are things that are occurring. Church membership has declined. Mass shootings have increased. And so there is a very meaningful correlation there that we all have to look at and ask ourselves, what's behind this? But at the same time, there are other things that are happening in our society while the church memberships and church attendance is in decline. For example, vaping. We've seen the legalization of marijuana. So if we just say the legalization of drugs, that's a fair enough characterization. Marijuana is a drug, and whether it is for medicinal purposes or any other purposes, the reality is that it is available to young people who have minds and ideas that are still in development. And this is one of the challenges that we are experiencing in our society. And so we're also seeing increases, for example, of teenagers who recently experienced depression. the numbers between the increase in depression among teenagers from 2007 to 2017 is 59%. And so that's a very, very substantial number. So if we look at all of the different things that are happening, kids have access, young people, I'm sorry, not kids, but young people have access to an incredible amount of information. It's available on their phones. Young people have access to drugs, whether legal or not. Young people have access to alcohol. And what we've done is families have pulled themselves out of the church. And so the number of young people that we see in church or who associate themselves to any particular religion, right, has declined very, very sharply. And it's been a long time in the making because we're looking at data that comes from 1980 and then charting that data and just stating what the facts are. We state what the facts are because it avoids the entire controversy over religion as a factor. But the reality is that American families have pulled out of churches. Children are not experiencing or having a spiritual experience. And the result of all of that, what we see at the end of all of this is increased depression, increased mass shootings, and increased suicide.
Wow, that's heavy. That's very heavy. So what do you think, somebody just asked a question actually in my chat, how can the church make an impact on lowering these stats?
That is the right question. That is the right question.
And this person's pretty smart.
I think that I'm the right person to address that, you know, and in fact, we are all the right people to address it. Let's start with this. The church institutionally, right, I'm speaking about all churches, and from a more general perspective, the church has not made the shift. The church has not fully understood this millennial generation. And so what we're preaching, we have been preaching for a long time. And we've been preaching it to a different generation. And today's generation doesn't identify with a ministry that comes from the 1980s. They were born in the 1980s, but there is a tremendous difference. Number one, in 1980, we didn't have cellular phones. And so access to information was much different in 1980 than it is in 2023. And the approach toward advertising was also different. So, you know, today when you can watch the news, and on any news station, they run a little ticker underneath that will give you more news stories, breaking news. Even while a news reporter is reporting on something else. And so we're bombarded with information is what I'm getting at. And our young people are bombarded with information too. And not necessarily knowing how to handle that or how to deal with that. We have seen, for example, these shifts in education where young people are able to access books for class online. So they've got quick access to lots of information, and that's great if it's used properly. But the point that I'm driving here is that the institutional church has basically remained the same. We're seeing shifts now. We're seeing that it is different now. Churches are adjusting to address the millennial generation. The message that comes from the church, though, starts to become the question. Because here is one of the other challenges that we are faced with. With all of the information and entertainment products that today's young people are faced with, Jesus walking on water doesn't make him a superhero. He doesn't become a Marvel superhero. And so our young people have become so sensationalized by media that in making the comparisons, they're making the wrong choice. They're making the wrong choice. And the challenge has been that the church is unable to turn the corner, so to speak, in order to address the needs of this population, because there's another dynamic at play here for the church itself. That dynamic is dealing with medical technology. And I know that sounds like, well, where does that come into play? People are living longer. And so the church that has been preaching to one population since 1980 has to also continue to preach to that population. And so we're going to lose one generation or the other because they're not both, baby boomers are not seeing the same thing as the millennials. They're not seeing the same thing at all. And what baby boomers want is for the church to address their individual needs. You and I have both, Tammy, you and I have both worked with older populations, older adults, who have very particular needs as well. And so the church is in a position where it needs to deal with both. However, the challenge is that the church doesn't necessarily have the resources for that. And so there are always people who are being left out of the message of Christ. As much as we would like to address it, sometimes youth ministry has a real challenge because this generation, the millennial generation, has a completely different focus and has so much information that's being pushed across the table to them that the message of Christ does not look relevant.
So how do we make it look relevant? How do we reach this younger population when traditions have changed? And I mean, let's face it too, with the pandemic, that's an added layer to everything. So many more people don't want to, you know, there's still people that don't want to get out of the house. And now you've got the older population that still is reluctant to get out. There's still quite a few people, older adults, that are reluctant to leave their homes right now, what we're seeing. And so now the population that typically fills the church is not there. And then you have, you know, and they pretty much sway the millennials to come in. The millennials are not going. So how do we reach those millennials?
I love this question. I love this question because it's the area where I'm really, really focused in my ministry. And I preach to all populations. I mean, I preach a gospel message. But here is what's important. I think that every person in our society has something to contribute to a next generation. And what we each contribute is different. And so with respect to your question, we have to understand, someone has to understand the millennial generation. And I want to talk about the best way to understand this generation because it doesn't come from books, okay? I can tell you that. You won't understand the millennials by reading a book. There are lots of statistics that are available. There's lots of information that's available. But for whatever reason, people are afraid to talk. The communication is the issue. Talking with young people and being able to listen to them and being able to learn from them is how we're going to develop the message that reaches them. In addition to that, what the studies can tell us, the studies from Duke, and I've got studies all over my desk that talk about millennial generations, it tells us about the communications tools that they use. But here's something very interesting that I'll share with you and the listeners. I was talking with a group of college students yesterday, and these are really, really bright students. They're all applying for medical school right now and have graduated from great schools. And we were talking about how they get the news, how they receive information. Some of the studies that are on my desk are suggesting that Facebook is still, you know, a popular tool to use. But what the students are telling me is that it's not for them. It's not what they use. And so my point is that we have to let students tell us about their needs. And we have to be willing to meet those needs where they are. We have to be – this is really, really a fascinating topic, because – that's what Jesus did. Jesus never went to a place and waited for people to come to him. He went where they were. He went wherever they were. The New Testament tells us that Jesus traveled more than 3,000 miles. He went where people were, and he met their needs where they were. That's what's missing with this generation. People, young people, are moving around and moving across the country. They're moving across the country to go to school. They're moving across the country to join the army. They're moving across the country to get married and start families. They're moving across the country when, you know, when they're accepting job opportunities. They're not coming into the church, and in fact, as young people move from one place to another, they feel relieved that there's no one pressuring them into the church of their parents. And even if they're looking for a church congregation where there are younger people and people they can identify with, sometimes there are challenges associated with that. And one of those challenges is the same as any other person who moves from one place to another place. And so we have to reach people where they are. Young people use their telephones for a variety of different things. One of them is accessing news and information. And young people use social media to formulate their ideas about the world in which we live. And so we have to place our message where they are. We have to place the message and make it accessible on their phone. If we're not putting the message there, they're not getting it. The evidence tells us this. This is not theoretical. The evidence tells us that our millennial generation, they're not getting it. They won't come in. I'll tell you one of the reasons why people really, this is a very, very practical thing. One of the reasons why young people don't want to come in to the church, right, is because let's just say it's a brand new church and it's been designed and built by a congregation that was able to do it. They were able to afford to build a brand new church. It's a great place when they built it in 1980. It's not the same for today. And so when young people of today walk into the place, it feels old. And the message that they're receiving, although the message is important, the message is relevant, the message is the true gospel, people are uncomfortable, young people are uncomfortable in that environment. And so we are not specifically meeting their needs. I saw a great church service that was happening on a university campus, and I think that that's where we have to go because that's where they are. And if Jesus wanted to reach young people, guess where he would go? He'd show up at Ohio State University because there are 61,000 students there.
Mm-hmm.
He'd show up at UCLA because there are 30,000 students there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I'm hearing you say is, it's just, yeah, go ahead.
No. That's really the point. We're not taking the word to them. We're waiting for them to come into the church, and it's not happening. Not only is it not happening now, it hasn't been happening since 1980.
Absolutely. You know, also somebody just texted me too, talking about the music too needs to be relevant, and the messages need to be relevant as well. Like, what are some appealing topics that you think that millennials would gravitate towards in a church? Because the messages all have the same underlying tone of what, you know, is said in the Bible, right? Like, it's all lessons from the Bible. However, the messaging has to come across appealing. It can't be the same there, thou. It can't have, like, that is not going to be appealing to a millennial. They're not going to understand that. And not dumbing down at all, but I'm just saying, how would you appeal in terms of topics and in terms of, you know, things that are relevant to today's person? And I mean, I'm not just even talking about millennials, but even baby boomers. Things are different than, say, when we were kids growing up in church. It's different now. So what do pastors and elders do out there to make the ministry relevant to today's people?
Again, another great question, and also a very, very important question, Tammy. And you hit the nail on the head. One of the things that we have to understand from a ministry perspective, from the pulpit, right? We're getting students engaged in, for example, our choirs and our bands and our music ministry and some of our outreach ministries, but the very same students are coming into the church and hearing a sermon that was really designed for older adults or for different populations. And so you're talking the right language. And I can answer that question in a couple of different ways. So here's way number one. We have to spend more time, and I say we, meaning the institutional church, we, those of us who care, we have to spend more time talking to this generation instead of talking at them. We have to allow them to tell us the things that are relevant and the things that they are challenged with. For example, I have done surveys with students, and I spend a lot of time with students, as you know, and I provide a lot of training for students and really, really some smart kids. I mean, they're so incredibly bright and intelligent, but there are certain things that they don't know about, right? They're still young students, and so their level of maturity is where they are. they may have high academic marks, but still have not lived life and therefore not understand the importance of what we do in the church. And I've had the opportunity to explain this and talk with students and explain it in such a way that it's not pushing people to do something, because what I have found and what I'm told is that parents are already doing that. Parents are already pushing their kids to excel at school, to do certain things and to set career objectives, and kids are already under pressure. I had an interview once with a 15-year-old girl who sat down with me, and I think we had, there's a real popular hamburger chain. Somebody probably knows this hamburger chain, but we had some hamburgers and fries, and she explained to me that she is under pressure at school. She's under pressure when she leaves school to go home, and she's under pressure at home too. So she's constantly under pressure, and she's 15. Other students have explained to me that the biggest problems that they are dealing with are all relationship issues, right? And I hear that a lot, and I read that a lot, because many of the studies point to these relationship issues. However, I believe that the ideation is something that's a little bit different than the relationship issue. The relationship issue pushes the button of something else. There's something else that's happening in the minds of people, and I think that much of it is the result of what's happening in our world today, what's happening in the homes in which they live, and also access to too much information and access to drugs. Drugs are a major problem, and we can't overlook that, drugs and alcohol. How else are our young people finding an outlet? What we know right now is that it's not church. That's not where they're finding an outlet. And times have changed. Again, I go back to the 1980s, but we can look at the 1990s. We can look at the 2000s, right? We can look at the year 2000 and start to understand that the world is just not the same. Some of what we see today, this population, first of all, has no way of understanding. For example, the racism that is so blatantly seen in the news, right? The police brutality that we are seeing. Our children today, our young people today, have lost faith in what we used to say America stands for, justice and equality. There's so much that's going on in the world today that there are just many, many young people who are saying they're seeing through the veil. They're seeing the hypocrisy of the church. They're seeing the hypocrisy of their own families. They're seeing the hypocrisy of our authoritarian government. They don't believe it. They just don't believe what we're telling them. And here's the other side of that. Here's the other side of that. It is that our news media is feeding information that is incorrect. And very recently, I think it's just been a couple days now, maybe it was just this week, Rupert Murdoch, chairman at Fox, admitted, for example, that Fox News had spread certain information that they knew was not true. And so a lot of what's happening is the media is inciting a lot of the behaviors that we are seeing acted out in our American society by millennial generations. They're seeing news and they're getting news from TikTok. And that's not a credible source for news and information.
At the same time, you're saying that we have to meet people where they're at, right? Meet the millennials where they're at. And where they're at right now, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, those are the worlds that they're in. And if they're not going to go into the church and you have to bring the message to them, you know, I understand going to the campuses, but there could be some restraints there. You know, the way that, you know, if you see any kids now, what they do, they go to YouTube, they go to TikTok, they go to all the sources I just named. That's what they're doing. So I still don't understand how to get that message out. And I want to ask, too, like, do you have any good examples of how people are doing active ministry and what that looks like and how they are actually reaching millennials and older adults, or maybe even bridging that gap and doing both, intergenerational? Have you seen anything that really works that you could share, you know, as best practice strategies for maybe some folks that may be listening that are in ministry that are struggling with this, you know, which I think almost everybody in ministry is probably struggling with this. But what are some best practices that you've seen out there that works?
Sure. So, again, two parts here. Part number one, technology. If we look at technology from the right angle, it has provided us with a tool that we can use. So I could talk about just the things that I am doing in my own ministry. Number one is that, you know, ministry is more than just a sermon on Sunday. And, you know, so I'm actively involved with our youth in athletics and sports by providing clothing and athletic wear and sports gear for teams. You know, we've just been really, really fortunate to have the ability to outfit entire athletic teams across the United States. And, you know, that's really, really important because it's another part of what's missing in ministry for millennials is that I know people are saying that Jesus loves me, but my question is, do you love me? Right? And if you do love me, that's the part that's missing for me. I can't connect because I'm not seeing that. So you want to drag me to church, but you don't. I need something more than that. I need other evidence of what our relationship is supposed to be like. So hands-on ministry is hugely important. Millennials want to see you. They want to see you in action because, as we were talking about, they see through the hypocrisy. They see through the discussion points, and they get down to the reality of what it is you are doing. What it is you are doing to make the world a better place, since that's what you are preaching about. And then the second part of this, Tammy, is there are technology advances that allow us to actually reach 500,000 phones and send a message out that reaches people on the college campuses. So we in ministry have to be smarter about how we're doing it. We've got to think like they think, or we have to be able to have young people, have students actually help us develop the campaigns. This is really, really an important point too, because you start with just a few, right? Jesus started with 12 disciples. So you start with just a few, and then there is a natural bridge that occurs. It's that each person who is working on the campaign, we're working toward a mutual good. It's not just that we're in ministry. It's that we are specifically trying to help people understand, right? Help a population of people understand that suicide is not a way out. And so when students start to work on campaigns like this, you create movements. We're creating a national movement. And what happens is the messages that get out to students have been strategically developed and focused on the particular points that people have told us are important to them. Let me elaborate on that just a little bit. So In most cases, what happens is the preacher is developing messages and they are divinely inspired. Okay, and nothing that I will ever say disparages the work that ministers and elders and preachers and evangelists are doing. I would never disparage the work that we do. But your divinely inspired message didn't come with a specific instruction from a 15-year-old girl. You see my point. So when we listen to what students are telling us, we have the ability to understand and to go into our Bible and to develop messages that are divinely inspired that will reach the population. And it works. It works across the board. If my audience, if I'm going to be preaching to or speaking to an audience of people who are 50 and older, then it's important to talk about the things that are that affect their lives on a daily basis. And so if we're speaking to young people, we need to know more about them. And that's the challenge. We need to know more about them, and the only way to do that is to talk to them. We can't make assumptions about how young people are feeling, because when we do make those assumptions, Tammy, I promise you, we're always wrong.
Yeah.
We're always wrong.
Well, and you know,
we try to figure it out on our own, the one thing that's common is when I was your age. But when we were their age, we had record players and there was no streaming service. So it's not the same world. It's not the same world.
No. It's not. It's not, but I will tell you one thing that I know that worked when I was younger, and that was Campus Life. That was my church. My church was Campus Life. I didn't grow up going to the church. I grew up going to Campus Life, and the one thing I think that's really missing right now in today's ministry that I've never shared with you before, I think, is fellowship. I was talking to my best friend earlier today, and her and I, we were in Campus Life together growing up, and the things that we remember and how we grew closer to God was through fellowship. And what do I mean by that? We went on ski trips together. We went on rafting trips together. We went camping together. We went to camps together. We went to bonfires. We collaborated. We did things together. And that is how our youth pastor got to know us, got to know the cool lingo that we would say at school. He got to know what we liked, what we don't like, what was cool, what was not cool. And that's how we really kind of, that's how he reached us. Because if he wouldn't have got to know us, like he was a teacher, he was a marketing teacher. So he's very brilliant in that way. He was a marketing teacher, right? So he could market. We know that. But at the same time, he understood marketing, that you have to know your consumer, right? And it's exactly along the lines of what you're saying. You have to know your consumer, your millennials. You have to know even your older adults or your middle age. you got to know who your audience is and really appeal to them in that way. But I think one thing that I can say is missing right now is the fellowship, because with all the social media and the TV, and I'm not saying anything bad about it. It can be very positive. Social media, all that can be very positive too. But all I'm saying is, to your point, there's many distractions. And I think the fellowship and really showing up, a friend of mine reminded me of being present in situations, being present, like being all there. Like, how many times have you been around somebody and they're on their phone and you're talking to them, but they're on their phone and they're, you don't, like, they may be listening, but they're not actively listening to you because they're on their phone. They're distracted. So I think there's so many distractions that it's hard to really get to someone and be present. And one way that my youth pastor would get us to be present was taking us away from everything that we know, and so that we had to be. You don't get cell service up in the mountains when you're skiing together. But I think the fellowship piece is missing. So what would you say, how do you combat that? Because that piece is huge, I think, in ministry.
It is. It's very, very huge. And, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking about this, one of the main distractions that, of course, we did not have growing up is there's virtual reality. People have there's so much that the gospel message has to compete against. It's tough, you know, and again, you know, and I use this example a little bit tongue in cheek, but Jesus has to compete with the entire Marvel universe, right? And so this story, this message, has to be very, very compelling. And so, but more to your question, you were talking about your marketing teacher who took you guys out for campus life, and that's great. See, the strategy behind this is that we have to understand the most pressing issues that the, let's say, our audience, our target audience is facing. Let's understand the most pressing issues. What is it that is going to cause people to pay attention to our discussion and to pay attention to our solution? Again, the example that I can use from my own ministry is the interventional suicide prevention program, which is focused entirely on our youth populations. That's something that all of the students are wanting to talk about. And the way that this program has been designed is that it's college students inviting other college students to participate in the prevention and to understand the problem and be able to identify it among their friends and other students and even at home. And so I say all of that to say we're trying to get people in the same place at the same time hearing the same message. And we're able to do that if we use the data, the information that the students themselves have given us. Now, in this particular case, we are talking about a national problem. Suicide is an international problem. We're addressing it today on a national level. So we have one student from UCLA and one student from Cornell. We have California and New York. And we have these students communicating with each other and developing the campaigns and inviting their friends to help with the campaigns. We have another student in Baltimore, Johns Hopkins. So we've got smart kids. There's no question. We've got very, very smart kids, and they are leading the march. That's what's important. In order to have them participating in this kind of work, we've got to give them something to do. And, you know, that's exactly what you were talking about with you've got skiing and you've done these different types of events. It's just today, because the millennials are so focused on social justice and social change, giving them a topic to work on that will change outcomes and change lives gets them involved. We're having great success getting them involved.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there. You nailed it. It's that advisory council. It's getting them on board and getting them involved, because the kids will listen to other kids. So when you get the buy-in from them, and I don't want to say kids, that's the wrong word to use, youth, millennials, but people listen to other people. They listen to their peers and their friends. So once you start getting them involved in something that they're passionate about, then the word catches on and they become, you know, they become little messengers to each other. And it's pretty amazing. It spreads like wildfire. So I get what you mean. This has been an amazing show. I really appreciate you being on this platform, and I look forward to having you on here again. You know, we're running out of time right now, but I want to just ask you one last question. You know, if there's any final thoughts that you want to share out there to the world and to the folks that are listening tonight, what, you know, what kind of message would you want to leave them with? After this amazing, you know, topic and show.
Wow, that's one question I think that's the one question I didn't anticipate. let me say this first: the campaign is called Join the 988, and so if you're not familiar with 988. That is the National Suicide Prevention Text and Hotline. And so we want people to join the 988. You will see information about it in social media. The students are developing all the artwork for it and all the messaging platforms. They're doing the work behind this, and it's important information that's coming out. But I think the most important message that I could leave us with is that, and I won't be clever about it, I just put it on the table. I believe that Jesus has provided us with a solution to the problems that we face in our daily lives and the problems that this generation is facing right now. And if we would work together toward building a better future for the next generation, we would succeed at it. We would not fail because God is with us.
That's powerful. That's very powerful. Well, I appreciate everything that we talked about tonight. It was so interesting. I had a lot of people, you know, texting me throughout the show, very intrigued in this topic. And I just want to, you know, say please keep up the amazing work that you're doing in your mission, because what you're doing is really counting and making a mark out there. And I appreciate you so much just in my life as an amazing friend and colleague. And I wish you nothing but blessings. And I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on my show tonight.
Tammy, it's been my pleasure, really.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to having you on my show again in the near future. And I want to say to all of my listeners out there, thank you so much for your support and for listening. And let's all be a part of the solution rather than part of the problem, kind of as Pastor Elder – there I go again, Pastor. Elder Roger Williams. This saying, let's all be part of the solution. Let's meet people where they're at, and let's just, you know, be at each other's level. And I think that messages will get more clear. And then also just being present. Let's be present. All right, everybody out there, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay blessed. Miss Tammy signing off. Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show. Good night.
Thanks, Tammy.